Hi everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is a very special guest. It is Luca Condosta. How are you today, Luca?
I'm very good, Miro. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for joining us today on the podcast. And of course, for our listeners, Luca is the author of the upcoming Lid Publishing book, Natuzzi. He is also responsible for shared accounting service centers in North America, North Europe, and Group Finance Master Data Domain Manager for ABB. He has joined us today to talk about the book and some of the themes and ideas behind it, and we're very much looking forward to our conversation today. But my first question, Luca, is the one I ask anyone that comes on the podcast, and that is, what actually inspired you to become an author?
That's a very good question. I know it's also a tricky one if someone, you know, have read the or have understood my profile. So I'm a finance guy, you know, and I work in Switzerland for ABB. But at the same time, I spend a lot of time, let's say, I would say, down the road, both in North America, in Northern Europe, and so on. So I have a passion for, you know, leadership, sustainability, and also stories in general. And, you know, I read a lot of books, but also at the same time, you know, I found the story of this company so catchy and remarkable that I thought, you know, this story needs to be written so that it doesn't get lost. And that was the reason why, you know, I decided to write, put everything on paper, and try to become an author.
Right. And as we're on the topic, what is the story behind Natuzzi in broad terms? Can you perhaps give us a quick background of its history and why it fascinated you?
Yeah, sure. So nowadays we have a lot of companies which are born in a garage, you know about Apple, you know about Google, and so on. And Natuzzi case is a little bit a kind of this one, because it was born in 1959 in the south of Italy in a 3x3 kind of shop. And today Natuzzi is an interior design company which is located in a small village in the south of Italy with no more than 30,000 inhabitants. And, you know, if you look at the story of Natuzzi and if you look where they are coming from, it's amazing, you know, the journey they've done. But what really surprised me is the fact that today they are one of the most recognized iconic brands, you know, when it comes to the interior design, not only related to the leather sofa, which was the original and main product they were famous for, but also for everything which is related to the, I would say, total living kind of concept.
Right, and let's focus a bit on that. And as you've mentioned, you know, this was a small company within the south of Italy, and it has risen to this spot to be one of the largest players in its sector. What do you think, in your opinion, was the main reason? What was the magic in the company that really propelled it forward?
The dream of Pasquale Natuzzi, the founder, no, was really to make the leather sofa accessible to everyone. So his dream was really, you know, try to get in every apartment, in every house, everywhere, one leather sofa at an affordable price. So the intuition he had was really to build up this company and offer to the U.S. market a leather sofa of high quality made in Italy for $999, where the market was offering the same type of product for $3,000 at that time. So then you can immediately understand, you know, initially he was focusing completely on this idea of democratizing the sofa and also offering the sofa to everybody. And then, you know, he moved a little bit different in the strategy. So the beauty of the story is that initially he was leveraging only on the price, and then he created his own distribution channel, a little bit like, you know, IKEA or Zara or similar kind of companies. And then finally worked on the brand. So he really was working a lot and investing a lot on the brand, because he realized that basically with the Chinese competitors coming into the game, it was the only way basically to survive. And so, you know, it's cool. What I found really cool, what excited me about the story, is the idea of transferring concepts like harmony, beauty, not only to a product, but really to the whole customer experience. And then, you know, what I think something which is really tricky, because, you know, again, I'm a finance guy working for a manufacturing company. And when I visited the plant of Natuzzi, it's amazing because you see some just-in-time technique, some lean production and some automation, you know, that goes together with a kind of an artisanal production. So it's really kind of, you know, a little bit of a paradox that creates the beauty that you see in this product.
Right. And I'd like to focus on something that you mentioned earlier by answering that question, and that was that Natuzzi had to face a lot of challenges as it was growing from overseas markets, from competitors, etc. I mean, it's a bit of an offbeat question, but what do you think, in your opinion, was the biggest difficulty they faced as they were rising to prominence?
Yeah, I think one difficulty was for sure the market, which was initially, you know, easy to be targeted because it was in the 90s, and then it becomes quite challenging when it comes, for example, to the price of the Euro product, but also on the other side to the rise of the Chinese competitors. So that's where I have to say Natuzzi reinvented itself, and they started creating a brand, and they started differentiating really from their competitors. And I think, you know, if you apply this logic to many other companies, this is really relevant because you can change from a simple product to an experience to the customer that you're providing.
Yeah, and there was something you said which is very interesting, and that as you visited them, there was a interesting blend of art, passion, but then at the same time there is this technology in there, you know, automation and, you know, progressing the manufacturing process and making it easier and more effective. And that's a very interesting story. Can you perhaps share with us one story from the book that really did make a very strong impact on you and made you think?
Yeah, maybe one real story that is, I mean, every time is kind of thrilling me is about, you know, the visit to the plant. Because when you visit the plant producing a sofa, you expect, you know, kind of, yeah, people sewing or maybe the machine doing this, and then, you know, the sofa get assembled and so on. But what I was wondering there is that everything basically is organized in a very lean way. So you have a kind of lean production where all the pieces are already assembled and so on. But there are two things that really kind of, you know, attract my attention. So the first one is that at Natuzzi they have a belief that the sofa must never touch the ground. So, you know, during the execution of the production itself, you see all these pieces of the sofa that are kind of flying over the production line because they are suspended, because the idea is that this product is so precious that never has to touch the ground. So that basically comes clean to the customer itself. And then the second one was really, really, really kind of interesting to me, was about, you know, when I saw the sewing people, you know, and sewing people usually are very experienced, very kind of artisan, they are really, really kind of manual kind of people. So those people were kind of sewing the leather, which is the most precious raw material they use for the sofa. And, you know, and they were sewing the leather while watching a CAD design on the screen. So this is really a paradox, because if you imagine, you know, those people, maybe they have no graduation, they have no kind of education at all, but they are able to read a CAD design on the screen. This really tells, you know, how much automation and how much, you know, kind of value is in the product behind the physical product itself.
Yeah, and from what you've told me, it seems that there is a culture of pride and, of course, accomplishment with each one of these products being assembled. Now, what really fascinates me is the fact that, as you said, they're not actually touching the ground as they assemble these things. And that's a fascinating story and one to really think over for our listeners. And can you perhaps give everyone listening free tips on how they can start their own small company or entrepreneur endeavor and build themselves up using the philosophy behind what Natuzzi is using?
Yes, sure. So I think the first one was really, the first thing that they did was have a strong leader. So Pasquale Natuzzi, I think now is around 80-ish, but he's a strong leader. So you really feel that along the way, he was always trying to get together all the people working for him and also making sure that they understood where he wanted to go. So, I mean, there are stories in the book about the Christmas event where it was really kind of a celebration also in the village, but it was really kind of way to celebrate all the success and all the things they achieved. So the second thing was really about the intuition. So I think, you know, the idea of transforming a leather sofa industry into a fashion one, where basically he was offering, you know, every year a new collection. He was able to offer, you know, a leather sofa in more than 1,000 kind of different colors. So it was kind of shocking. It was also kind of, everybody was waiting for the new collection of Natuzzi to come around May. And then the third one is the capacity to adapt to the change along the way. So in the book you will read that there were several revolutions of Natuzzi, and I think in the context, in the macroeconomical context where we are today, where basically there is no more the geographical boundary that protects your company, is really relevant the way they acted, moving basically from the price, the distribution, to the brand experience itself. So I feel that also, for example, when I look at the company where I'm working for, there are a lot of concepts that can be migrated or can be kind of translated in a manufacturing company like ABB, but I see also many other companies that can apply the same technique and the same kind of logic. So these are the three pillars for me.
Great. And just a bit of a side question from me, which I have a bit of curiosity about. Listening to you, what really got popping in my mind was, is there any region or area throughout the world, as Natuzzi is now a globally recognized company, that they are having a particularly great success, or a region where people are really resonating with what they're trying to do?
I think, you know, the U.S. market, the Americas market is where they are really famous. They are really famous. You know, there are stories also in the book when they say that when Pasquale Natuzzi was going there during the 90s, people were stopping him at the border just for asking kind of an autograph of him, you know. So he's very well known there and he's very well positioned. But I have to say also, I saw in Asia, he's also working and growing a lot, and also I think in Europe. So the balance of the revenues, I think, is also another key point they made over the years. So they really was trying to, let's say, balance the portfolio and not only depend on the US market. And that was also another success story for them.
Great. And the last question is the one I ask anyone that comes on the podcast, Luca, and that is, what are you currently reading?
So it's nothing to do with Natuzzi, it's nothing to do with business, although, you know, sometimes I also am fascinated by leadership book and so on. But this is a thriller that I got just for Christmas from some friend of mine, and it's named Private Number One Suspect by James Patterson and Maxine Petro. So it's just a thriller, so it's interesting to read on the train.
Great. And of course, for our listeners, if that sounds good to you, we'll have a link in the description where you can go and you can find out more about that book as well, if you're into thrillers and you have some time on your morning commute to work. But with that, I would like to thank you very much, Luca, for joining us today on the podcast.
Peter, thank you very much to you and to all the listeners to this podcast.
Great. And of course, if you enjoyed what we talked about today, there will be links in the description below where you can find out everything you need about Natuzzi itself, and of course the book. And you can find us on our social media channels at Lid Radio. Once again, I would like to thank you very much to the listeners for joining us on this week's episode, and as always, we will very much look forward to having you join us next week.